Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show here. We are firing off on a terrible Tuesday. It is I, Mad Dog Mullinax, and with me, as always, I got so distracted
by my beard.
J.C. Sherbert. Brooder Sherbert. I love it. Was it like that yesterday?
No, this happened this morning.
Okay, I thought so.
It's just out of control. I'm a little busy these days, especially like the first 3 days of this week. And so it's like the stepson and I, the oldest one, we're supposed to go get haircuts one afternoon. And it's probably going to be Wednesday before I get to that, right? And so I was just looking at the mirror. And, you know, I do coffee in the morning. And so when my hair gets to the point where it's all screwed up, you know, I have to like get ready to go on. I can't look like a homeless person on the camera like I used to.
Right.
I did some guest segments one time on a Gamecock podcast, and somebody in the comments on YouTube was like, "Why are you having this homeless person on?" And I was like, you know, and I cared none about it, but I was like, you know, this is just me carrying it. And I don't want to lose any viewers. You know, most people just listen, but I don't want to lose any viewers because my hair looks like butt. You know, so I got up and I was like, I got to fix this. And so I trimmed it up a little bit. And I don't really like mustache because I sit there and go this far there.
Yeah, I don't like
it. It feels unnatural.
Drives me insane.
I've never been a mustache guy except one time. Phil's wife called me out at college. I don't know if I was hungover or what, but I had a half a mustache. Like one half,
right?
Like just not a Hitler looking mustache or anything like that. Yeah. But it was like middle of nose over. I just shaved. I guess I got a little way shaving and forgot. So it's crazy on all that. So anyway, good day. If you missed the exclusive interview with JB and Shane Beamer, it is up on the podcast channel, and Phil's got it up on the YouTube channel. We also have some content on Gamecock Central and the Big Spur going off of that. We've got all the scrimmage intel, practice intel, all that you would want on the websites. And certainly looking forward to high school football this weekend too. FourQuarterFriday.com, the Four Quarter Friday show on Friday. Rob and Matt will preview the state. There's some good games. Sumter Somerville. That's an old, heard Matt Smith say that's an old Big 16 matchup, and it is, you know. Mm-hmm. They used to have the four S's. Spartanburg, Sumter, Somerville, and Spring Valley was actually a powerhouse back then. That was before they had a Blythewood or a Ridgeview. That part of Columbia was not, I guess, the whole part of Columbia. Spring Valley is a big 4A. They called it the Big 16. Big 16 schools had those for years. So looking forward to all that. It's a good week. August is going by a little quicker than I thought it would be. The Gamecock offense had a good scrimmage, so there's something new that's out there. The O-line had a good scrimmage. I mean, especially when you're talking about by comparison, Phil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there's been good offensive lines around here that have gotten their tail whipped in first scrimmages. Like tail whipped. Like bad. Like so bad, maybe we heard how bad it was and didn't even talk about it. You know, just because it was that bad and you didn't want to overreact with a scrimmage. You don't want to overreact positively either.
No, it's like I don't know what to think, right? Because, I mean, it's been 20 years of, okay, here's what we want the analysis to be, right? We want the defense to get the better of the offense in this very first scrimmage. And then coming out and hearing that there was this level of parity, I'm like, all right, sell me on how this is not bad.
Yeah. And, yeah, you ask about the defense. Now, look, do I think, you know, you always have kind of subtle concerns, you know, and one thing I've learned through the years as I've gotten old and grown an Amish beard is that when you get into trouble, when you're not just the Gamecocks, when you start talking about other schools or anybody, when you assume and you don't really think when you're going by position and talking about performance, there's a higher percentage chance you'll get burned.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it drives me crazy. People that just look at the depth chart and look at the returning starters and anoint teams or not, you know, you got to kind of really look at it. And so there's some subtle things out there. Okay. So my question would be, and I was told absolutely the defense is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Not fine, but really good. So my question, but the pass rush, let's talk about pass rush. Now there's all kinds of nuance and context and caveats with this. First of all, without seeing the tape of the scrimmage, and I'm not going to get the tape of the scrimmage.
No.
It's the one thing we have heard about this offense is it's designed to get the ball out of Lenoris's hands fast. So sometimes when you play teams, Clemson did this to Carolina in 2024 up there. If you notice, Cade Klubnik just got it and chunked it, and Carolina had a hard time sacking him, not pressuring him, but sacking him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a keep away type of system that teams use when they're deficient on the O-line. That's not really Kendall Briles, and you're not going to see the Garrett Riley or whatever that was offense that day, but right. there's things built into it to alleviate pressure off your line. One of them's getting the ball out quick, so you don't know sack wise if that was it. But what you want is for the defensive line to affect the passer, pass rush wise. So there's that part of it. So you kind of think, well. We heard a lot about Caleb Herring having a good spring, and a lot of it was my primary concern because of Caleb Herring's slender build. Right. said people asking me if he plays wide receivers. Well, a guy like that against the run, you gotta play well against the run. But you heard here he held up in practice at least against the run. But what about pass rush? And then Anthony Addison, good pass rusher in Heisman, unproven. We believe Julian Walker will be able to rush the passer. We think George Wilson is a guy that can rush the passer. We haven't seen it. We know Dylan Stewart can rush the passer, and he can also allow other people to get favorable matchups so they can rush the passer. But Dylan Stewart didn't play. So little things like that pop up, right? And you're like, I don't know. Matt Fuller's out there in a blue jersey. Now, nobody's said anything about Fuller not being healthy, but that blue jersey is kind of limited contact or no contact, something like that. And so you're like, okay, well, is the running back one job, is that more, is there a higher chance now because of that, given the elevated competition in that room? And look, Matt Fuller was the starting running back coming out of spring, but it was always kind of close, especially between him and Christian Clark,
mm-hmm.
right? But Isaiah Augusta stepped up. Jawaan Howell stepped up. So the question becomes would there be, and I don't know if this is a problem, but would there be another running back start against Kent as it relates to depth chart and all that? Because, if he's not 100% and the competition is really good, then, what do you do? Right. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing there. So, I don't know, but, we'll monitor that. The good news is there is depth at running back, and they are happy about the guys that just speculatively are behind Fuller right now. So who knows what's going on? You look in the secondary. Obviously, we've projected Causey Barnes to be in the two deep since spring. He's making a move for one of those backup spots. DeMarcus Leach is in that mix, too. I don't know which one will be the third corner, right, and which one will be the fourth. I think it's between those two, with Tristan Lewis and Jalewis Solomon. Still battling hard in that one. There's a war at nickel with Quasheed Scott and Gerald Kilgore. So we projected Kilgore coming out of spring. Heading into spring, we projected Quasheed because that's what he's recruited to do. Now, those two battled it out in the scrimmage. Gerald Kilgore's made a lot of plays during his time here. Kilgore did not have a bad scrimmage from what I'm told, but Quasheed Scott kind of turned it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what you want. He's a PD baller. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Quasheed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think, well, who's going to come out of that one? So there's subtle little things there. Mm-hmm. you know, and so we'll see sort of what happens with all that. And yeah, and who ends up getting the starts for the University of South Carolina against Kent State.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, I think. You know, you got to figure you'll see at least a full half of the ones and maybe, you know, maybe three quarters if things are going well. And then you kind of get some of these depth guys in there behind the ones and twos. And there's plenty of opportunity to play. I think we're going to see, like in games, JC, that get out of hand one way or the other. You're going to see guys play more extended time than you normally would with the current eligibility situation, five to play five, as opposed to having to worry about the red shirt and all of that. So,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what effect that has moving forward on just development in general. Like, are these guys going to be hitting things a little quicker on the field than they normally would?
I think one reason that it's the third phase of the game, special teams. Yep. You know, in the past, when you're talking about, and look, I got a question I'll bring up, you know, probably for another show or on the message board at some point. In college football, do we build programs anymore, or are we just building teams every year? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there's certain things that are still program-ish and then certain things that are just team. But it used to be, you know, you're building a program, and so you're like, well, this kid, so technically he could be like our fifth corner, right? Mm-hmm. And if somebody gets hurt, you know, we'll just not play the fourth quarter. We'll pray we don't have to play the fourth corner.
Yeah.
But he could be demonic on special teams as whatever, you know, not the return guys. The return guys, you know, but sometimes you don't trust a freshman to return the kicks either. Let's redshirt him and save right. him, or let's play him in four or less games when the new rules came out. Now, that dude can go out and play on your special teams. Yeah. And if you recruit, I'm not even saying you have to recruit all these ready-made players that are able to make an impact in year one. You know, surprisingly enough, Carolina's got a lot of those. Not that I didn't think these guys wouldn't be good. I'm just surprised at how fast some of them are getting on the field and not beating out, but taking snaps away from proven players in many instances. Mm-hmm. But you know, unlike that, you know, now you can stick those guys, not, like I said, not finished product players, but let's take a Caden Ramsey, for example. You know, Caden Ramsey needs to put on some bulk to play tight end in this league, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But he's 6'5", 225, as an athletic, and has ball skills, as the often discussed 22 interceptions over 2 years at 1A ball in South Carolina. That's a guy. I'm not saying he will be. I'm not projecting that he will be, but he could play on special teams and you still have 5 years. Well, when you're on the field on special teams, instead of just sitting there and you practice against the starters or whatever, which also helps you if you're on the scout team, getting that game action makes you more comfortable when you finally get in, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, and so you don't always have to rely on, you know, we talked about Clemson a little bit earlier. I think Clemson, during their heyday and even still today, they benefit. You know, sometimes the game will be boring. Clemson fans will be like, oh, gosh, you know, we love winning, but I wish we were playing somebody other than Boston College at 7:30 at night on Saturday.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, it would be a little bit more exciting if that were Auburn or A&M or Tennessee, you know, somebody like that. But one of the advantages of that, Phil, is that they've beaten the crap out of people. They could empty the bench.
Yeah.
And those younger guys got better and better, and so they're ready to play. Well, now, you know, you can really empty the bench, and then you can also play them on special teams. So, like the rules hadn't passed last year, but Donovan Darden played all 12 games special mm-hmm. teams. Kendall Daniels Jr., you know, as a true freshman. And when you got athletes like that, let's go. You know, we keep talking about Neff Geo would definitely be a red shirt right now. He would be like, well, you know, you're definitely playing in less than four. Probably one or two.
One, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, and that's only only if you don't go tackle the safety after you after you know the rules, you pass. It's like a driver's test. You pass this rules test, Neff. But now you can say, all right, we're just going to put you out here. You still have to know the rules, but we're going to teach you to do one thing or two. Shane Beamer talking about him on Pump Block now has me intrigued on that, because he's a big guy that can run like in rugby, and that's kind of a similar movement. Then you just lay out and try to block it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if he mastered that? And fans, I'm not saying that he will. I'm not predicting this. Don't go run to a message board that I'm not on, so I can clarify myself, or something like that, or Twitter, and say, J.C. Sherbert said that NFG was going to be a punt blocking demon.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I don't know that. I don't even know if he'll make it on the punt block team. However, it is intriguing to think about Maurice Brown, who's just an animal blocking punts, and this 6'7" rugby guy coming off the edge, laying out every play. That's all he does. Mm-hmm. He eats and sleeps and breathes blocking kicks. That's all he does.
That's it.
All day.
Specialist.
All day, every day, he's thinking about blocking kicks. He's blocking kicks in his sleep. He's blocking kicks at breakfast. He's blocking kicks when he goes home to Ireland. He's laying out blocking the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. He's laying out blocking kicks to the melodic sounds of U2. Mm-hmm. He's there. His family's drinking Guinness, and he's in the backyard laying out and just blocking kicks. That's what I want to do, is block kicks. Ah, you're going to block kicks, are you? That's good, Neff.
Good for you,
Neff. He's blocking kicks. They're over there having a Guinness. You know, how's the Neff Jiwa doing over there in the States? Well, he's blocking kicks.
Oh, he's a punt blocking nightmare.
He's a nightmare. He's a holy terror. You know, that's a good dream to have about that.
I was thinking about that too, man. You could put somebody like that at gunner, you know, I mean, like that guy running down, because you got to figure, like, he already has the form for tackling, because right in rugby they don't wear any helmets or anything, so no. Like you're leading with the crown of your helmet there, you know how to tackle in rugby.
I'll allow it. Hey, Nick Harbor's a gunner.
I mean really good imagine gunner.
That dude
wildling running down.
I'd be afraid.
I know.
I'd be very afraid.
Where you run up 5 yards and throw your hand up like it's going to be a fair catch and just let it drop.
Leave me alone.
You'd like, quit. No.
But, but you know, when you have a young guy like that that needs to learn offense or defense, or that needs to put on weight like Ramsey, you know, now with the new rules, you can put them out there, and then that does help them develop, because even though it's a different job, you're still on the field, you know, in front of a crowd. Absolutely. On the grass or turf,
right?
Mm-hmm. Against an opponent. So
All right. Interesting though, because I think that'll help lend itself to building programs, like to help keep them together too. You know, to your earlier point, are we just fielding teams every year, or are we building a program? The 5 for 5 might actually facilitate some more program, you know, kind of a regression back to program building for, and especially for schools like South Carolina, where culture is at a premium.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something I'm going to get into at another time with the program versus team. But you know my definitions. It's the job, program, team thing.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, program is a little broader than team. Like team is like, okay, the 2025 Gamecocks went 4-8. That's the team. The program, well, you know, and it's usually over sometimes it can stretch over 2 or 3 coaches, but especially if there's like an internal promotion, you know, like Mike Bellotti gave way to Chip Kelly, gave way to Mark Helfrich.
Yeah.
That would be a period of a program at Oregon, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's aspects of that are still in place, the program. And that elevates or goes down. You know, you always talk about like, well, we got to rebuild the program. That's it. Job is, in general, how are you, you know, now it's how much money do you have? Where are you located? What's your history? Who do you have to play every year? Those are the aspects of a job that coaches evaluate, you know, and then those opinions are way different than the opinion of a program. Like Boise State, very good program, right? Boise State has very good teams. As a job, Is Boise State the best job in the group of five? Probably not.
Yeah, right. No,
probably not the best job. You know, Alabama, people will disagree. Alabama's probably not the best job in the SEC. You know, that's probably LSU or Florida. I mean, drop back up Florida. That's probably LSU Tech. I just said something incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
The best jobs in the SEC are LSU and Texas. Maybe not in that order. Texas is probably one, LSU's two. But you know what? Who's the better program for the last 20 years, Texas or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Who has the better team? It depends on who wins in Dallas sometimes, but you know, some years it's Texas, some years it's Oklahoma. You know, the job though, every coach will tell you it's Texas.
Right.
Every single coach. So, so what are we building now? I don't know. You know, people, and I think it's something we have to adjust because we sweat the program building stuff. You know, wait a minute, you know, because we're just accustomed to it for our whole lives.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how college football, that's how you do it. You know, this is how we do it.
Put you together a program.
All right. GameCardTraditions.com for all your Nike gear. They have some new stuff up, especially for females. Showed some of them to the wife the other day before she decided to divorce me because of my Amish beard. And she liked it. So go check it out for if you're a man, for your sweetheart, if you're a woman, for your husband, you know, if it, or not, you know, it just doesn't matter. Yeah. Hey, look. We're cool. Whoever, you know,
right, yeah.
Your significant other. Go check that out. GameCardTraditions.com, brick and mortar stores, Village at Sand Hills, also out in Lexington. Going to catch up on the McKellar Enterprises chat box right after this on the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks. The show rolls on. Final segment of the show here. Final segment of our ITG Super Stream. We're going to have to get out of here promptly at 1 o'clock here because Brother Schubert has a barn raising that he can't miss. Be an integral part of that as we move forward. I like the look. Like I was looking when you first popped on the screen. I'm like, man. That's a good look for him. I was like, look at that. And I was like, and I can't wait to tell my eldest daughter because she has turned into a bit of an Amish file. Right. So I was like, look, you know, Uncle JC is screwed that up. That's all right.
That's all right. Uncle Christoph.
That's right.
You know, it's fine. Doc commented on JC with the face for radio boom. And I didn't respond right away. She said, just kidding, my man, love it, you do you.
Yeah.
It's all good, Doc. Krager, Seal had no business landing Heidi Klum,
but that might have been the truest thing in the chat box today.
Kiss from a rose on it's that song Kiss from a Rose on the Grave.
Yeah.
Cam says JC has hair everywhere that Phil does not.
It is a perfect match.
From the shoulders up, man. But I don't know what Phil's got going on.
We don't know what's going on under
the... No idea what's going on. Oh, man. So, anyway. X-Man, to quote Wayne Campbell, I'm a little older, a little wiser. I started to get hair in really weird places. Yeah. That's one thing I haven't had to deal with, weird placed hair. But, ear hair is a real thing, man. And I know some people too, that like got in their 40s and 50s, didn't deal with it. Like they never
had attend to that if it's happening.
And they didn't have a beard or anything to cover it up. It's like, just like clean shaven. And then like looking like Doc from Back to the Future, but out of your ears, like
out of your ears?
Potatoes out of it. How do you live? Throw some hot wax on that or something. Dang. Cam says, I'm officially paying rent for an apartment on National Guard Boulevard directly across from the practice facility. Never thought I'd be adding one of those to the budget. Perfect for parking for games and spying.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good.
Send you a pair of binoculars there, Cam.
Yeah, no doubt. Krager says, why is Julius Solomon not in the two deep? Really simple. The other ones are better right now. Not that he won't. I mean, it's just they're still battling it out. It's just the one that made the most noise the other night was Barnes. And so you hear about that. And then Beamer mentions Leach. And so he's kind of go from there. Nothing's saying he won't. But, I mean, Joe Lewis has never really made a move. They like him. And he had been healthy. They didn't want him to leave. You know, remember that day he was in the portal and he wasn't? So he's doing something right, but it's just kind of one of those things. Krieger said, man, I was wrong on him. So was I. And definitely the source I used when I said he could start in, what, 2024 or three is a fresh four is a freshman. Didn't work, but, you never know. It takes a lot of people a little. I mean, it takes some guys a little bit to get going. Lance says the beard is immaculate. So, Bruin says, stupid question. I may have missed the memo. With the new 5-5-5-for-5 rule, I know there's no redshirt rules. There are medical redshirt. I do believe there are limited medical hardships.
Yeah, I think it's like you got to apply for it, though.
Yeah, definitely. TD says, JC, would you say it's realistic that Dylan will be ready for week 3 against Mississippi State? He's the one guy I truly don't think needs reps. He's a freak and will just be fine without playing games 1 and 2. I'm relatively confident that he'll play then. I think some of the worry about him is overblown a bit because people want any kind of like sign and clue. And I don't blame them. You know, I'm not hating on people that do that. When they interpret it as something bigger than it is, maybe that's a it gets into a little bit of ooh wee, Phil.
Ooh wee.
Dylan wasn't carrying a medicine ball around like
Peak was.
That's right. Ooh wee. He's not even close to healthy.
He just keeps standing over there.
Ooh wee. So
it was good seeing Peak hauling that 50-pound ball around. I was like, hey,
yeah,
that's a shaky knee. That feels good. That's good. That's good.
That's got everybody, you know. Oh, yeah. You know, when I was in Columbia, I probably asked 3 or 4 people that would know about Peak, and they all said the same thing. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Now, that was in June, and there is such a thing as setbacks. You know, you got to be clear with this is why I don't really like discussing injuries all the time, but I know we have to because it's important because. Things can change, and then people get mad because they act like, oh, no, my gosh, Almighty, you were dishonest.
You lied to
You're
us.
You're a charlatan.
Jebediah
is a charlatan for telling me. Anyway, so, yeah, but I think so, too. I think, look, man, TD, even if you start somebody else, right? And as long as they're playing well and not a liability, and you got to sneak him in third down, pass for obvious passing downs, I mean, he's still effective.
Yeah.
And, you know, you it's tough. So, Deputy saw Neff this weekend on Saturday. He said, Neff is huge. He walked by me Saturday. The man is massive. That's Deputy Smitty in the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Cockweed says, Brigadier General J.C. Burnside says, Neff Jiwa.
Yeah.
Craiger dares to dream about the Neff Jiwa special teams crusade I'm on.
Right.
Hey, Beamer mentioned it, too. So, hey, I'm not dumb here. I say, can you imagine that 6'7 monster coming at 20 miles an hour at you if you're trying to return a punt? No.
Yeah. Doc Braybeard's like, nope, just hand him the ball.
Blake says, watch it, JC. I don't know. Oh, yeah. I was saying, your mom, your dad, your significant other. I just need to go with significant other for now. Lance says, the 2024 roster build that has been recreated this season is how our Gamecocks can compete. Find a way to stack these more consistently. Let's go. Yeah. It's just with the portal, you never know. Now, look, I'll say this. And I don't think roster is the reason they went 4-8. I think there's other reasons. But I think their roster was good enough to win at least 7 games last year. At least six. The ball doesn't bounce. So you know, the ball bounces your way with A&M and Alabama.
Yeah.
Those are two they should have won.
Right.
You know, that's two playoff teams. Should have beaten them. maybe you play a little better against Clemson if you're, you know, having a winning season. You give them seven, you know, that's probably as good as that team was going to do. And the sole reason for that is, you know, everybody that was on the schedule was better than ever, you know, a lot. Like I said, Brad Crawford picked A&M back last spring, and he changed his prediction to go 6-6. You know, Ole Miss was supposed to take a step back because Jackson Dart was gone, right? Yeah. Remember that? Did they take a step back, Phillip?
Yes.
No.
Ole Miss? Oh, I'm sorry.
Ole Miss. That's okay. Phil got lost. It's like me earlier. What?
Jackson Dart always taking a step back and getting his head knocked in.
Yeah, dude.
He got hurt in the damn limited
season, I mean, game one. And they were supposed to take a step back. I mean, Vanderbilt, I think a lot of people thought Vanderbilt would be pretty good. Did you expect to be 10-2?
No, they didn't. No.
But he did. You know, Oklahoma. There are questions about Brent Venables' future. You know, they were a playoff team. You know, and then, like I said many times, Missouri and LSU probably had a little bit of disappointment in their seasons. But Carolina played Missouri when they had a starting quarterback and they were undefeated in the top 10. And then LSU didn't know they sucked yet either. And both of those were on the road at night.
Yeah.
So it just worked out that way. But truth be told, that was probably ceiling for that team roster-wise was about 7 or 8, Lance. I don't know that that's the ceiling for this year's roster. But one thing they did tweak this year with their portal haul was, you know, last year you had guys like Aaron Nolan and Jaylen Brown and kind of some younger dudes that you're like, okay, he's kind of a makeup for recruiting, which I still think they should take those guys. If a guy's been someplace 1 year, you really like him, he could be a player, bring him on in. This year, they went much older. Like, show me your ID, kind of older.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you still have some guys like that. You know, Jordan Thomas is still a young player. They got from Georgia, things of that nature. But they were very intentional about that. You know, getting those guys that were older guys. And so they had tweak it, and that's kind of the formula that worked in 24, older guys. And so it's probably what they're thinking now. So Blake says, are there any ITG tailgates planned for the year? We should do a Tennessee one. If we do, that's probably one we're looking at, just to be honest. I know I'm going to be coming in for that one. I'm coming in from Mississippi State, but I've kind of got some obligations already for that one. And then I'm going to Alabama. I got to go to more games this year because I want to deal with my stepson's done playing high school football.
That's right.
So it'll be good. But yeah, I think that'd be a good weekend to do.
Yeah, Tennessee, that would be a good weekend. Yeah,
it's weekend before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Bruin says JC Churnbert. Bruin, when are you going to go post your South Florence football thoughts on Four Quarter Friday's message board?
Oh.
I'm disappointed. Disappointed. Deputy Miss Smitty, he's also a bit undersized slightly. Neff Jiwa, or I don't know.
Who were we talking about?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. That was 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago. That's an eternity. That's eternity. Luke says, JC and Phil are hilarious. I like this part of the show. We like your feedback on the show, too. Luke.
Yeah, man.
Luke is in the ITG. He's a member of Gamecock Central in the Big Spur. Now he's firing questions. He's got good thoughts on the board. I got a DM from him the other day that was awesome. Luke is an engaged Gamecock fan, and the feeling is mutual. That's we funny. Love to hear from you, too, Luke. Deputy says he's at Bama too. Got to meet up. Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're staying in Birmingham. There's a thing called the Tide Shuttle. I think I'm taking over. Or I'm going to make the stepson drive because he's underage anyway. So, oh, Debbie said that was in reference to Jalewis. Yes. His listed height coming out of high school is like 6'1", 180. I don't think it's quite that. I mean, I'll have to look at the. I think he's listed that here, but you're right about that. Lance's latte flow from Mississippi State, possibly. Absolutely. Solomon. So, yeah, thank you to the six people that called us up there, Phil.
Yeah, that's right.
TD says Cousin Shane's. So get this. Cousin Shane is bringing his RV to the Tennessee game.
Oh, now
we should do an ITT that SEC podcast.
Oh, Cousin like a Friday. Shane. Oh, we could preview show. That's a great preview.
Let's do the preview show from Cousin Shane's RV.
Oh, man.
Or the tailgate show the next morning. That'd be fun. Deputy's staying around Hoover. Yeah, I booked downtown Birmingham. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
So if you want to take a shuttle over to go to Tide Shuttles, they do pick up at the Hoover Galleria.
Do they? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they all over.
It's over like, yeah.
It's Tuscaloosa. Every time I've been there for a game, which I've been three times or so, it's easy to get into, like, especially if it's a night game and you go early. I mean, we went in 2000, it was an early game. We buzzed right on in down McFarland Boulevard to the campus, parked, walked around, and went to a tailgate.
Yeah.
It was all good. But, and then 2009, same way, got right there, went to the Bear Bryant Museum, made a day of it. Getting out of that thing is insane because they kind of have a car where all the traffic goes one way. And then it's I-20 basically. It's called something. It's 459. Like, so you go east and it's Birmingham and the rest of the state, all points north, everything. So there's one highway going back towards the Ham, and you filter out, go down to Mobile, Montgomery, wherever. The other way, there's absolutely dang nothing until you get to Meridian, Mississippi, which is another across the border. Not that far. It's about 90 miles. There's nothing. There's nobody lives over there. So everybody's going one way. It would be like I-26, everybody going towards Charleston instead of, which happens a lot anyway, instead of back towards Greenville, Spartanburg, or filtering out on 77, or filtering out on 20. I mean, imagine that. Imagine one highway in one direction, and their stadium seats 100,000.
Yeah,
that's lot.
Pressure, right?
Even in the places, Phil, because Tuscaloosa's right on the interstate.
Yeah.
Like Gainesville, Florida, and Tuscaloosa, Alabama are very similar. Gainesville's right off 75. But you have a bunch of people, when they leave, you can go kind of hit the go down 75, hit the turnpike. You can go back through that little bag of crap town, Waldo, Florida, with the speed trap, and go all the way back to Jacksonville down a back road. You can go north. There's no easy way out. That's Tuscaloosa, that song. But dude, so Gainesville, you can get out of. Even the schools that aren't on the highway, like Georgia, Georgia's a good, either way, you go 20, you go 85, unless you're coming from Atlanta. Well, Georgia, you can, in Athens, you can get on that highway toward Atlanta, back through Gwinnett. You can go back the back way, back towards I-20, I call it the rectum of Georgia. That's the way you go there. You can go out Jefferson or Commerce and get to 85. Clemson, same kind of way. You can go 123. Tuscaloosa, there's just one way out. There's no easy way out. There's no easy way out.
No shortcut
home. It is the worst traffic I've ever been to. So the Tide Shuttle to me, it sounds fun. It sounds fun. Now, I've done this before. Now, even if the Stepson Drive, speaking of Gainesville, I'm going to do something I did in Gainesville in 2010. It's hilarious. So we went and we parked. We didn't really tailgate for that game. So we parked at the Gainesville Mall. It was probably the most, I wasn't that old then. I was probably about 33, 34, something like that, in 2010, 33. Parked at the Gainesville Mall. We're like a couple of older folks. Rolled into the food court, got us a slice of pizza from Sbarro because we came over from Jacksonville, and then took the bus. They had a gator shuttle that took us to the swamp. So we go in there, and needless to say, the Carolina visiting section was a bit crowded. Best game for a Gamecock fan, that was one of the best games ever, dude. I mean, the visitor section at Florida is right down close to the fields. So you can see everything right in that end zone. Packed in there like sardines. Just had to turn sideways. I was a bit rotund in 2010, too. Worse than I am now. Fluffier, much fluffier.
Bit fluffier.
And so I had to turn sideways to fit. I was like, hi, guy. You know, it's like a little pose.
Yes.
Watch the Gamecocks survive the opening. You know, you want to talk about bad special teams. Spurrier always had a great kicker. Always had a pretty good punter. The rest of the special teams, donkey. Pretty good when Beamer was there. But and the reason for that is they always put walk-ons on the special.
Put the walk-on out there. Who cares?
So that Andre DeBose takes over to kick off for that. So the Gamecocks come back and win, obviously. Very famous Steven Garcia play. Marcus Lattimore went off. Gamecocks won the SEC East. That's the only game I've ever watched in my life of the Gamecocks where they've won something like a championship, the division championship. So I'm so glad I went. And what was hilarious about it was the Gator shuttle back to the dang mall had these TVs, right? And they play Gator highlights on it, right? So you get down, you sit down, and I'm looking at the wife, and we're like, yeah, it's good. We're going to Atlanta. We're talking about getting tickets. All of a sudden you hear, well, you know, in 96 Gators, you know, Riedel Anthony, our offense is just so good. And the head ball coach is just sitting there addressing crowd of miserable Gators and me and my ex-wife. And they're just like, oh, my God. No, we don't want to hear from Steve tonight. No, some, of them are, some of them, Florida fans, their internet persona is probably a little bit more rowdy than their real life persona. Some of them are just like, you know, Southern people. They're just like, oh, yeah, no, we're happy for Steve. Happy for Steve. I don't know what happened tonight. We're happy. Well, happy for Steve, you know. I mean, because they had just won a national championship 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And really damn good. Yeah. I mean, they were rolling. So, we're just rebuilding because of Tebow. And then that was Myers last year. I don't know. The Tuscaloosa shuttle back. I mean, Alabama fans, their in-person persona is a bit different than their internet in another way. I mean,
yeah, on the reverse, right?
Their stadium's not that rowdy, but when they lose, though, and maybe those people don't actually go to the games. You always hear about stuff happening. Mm. Paul, stuff goes down. That's the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, so safety's always going to be important. But anyway. Harrison says, I take it Tuscaloosa is about as easy to get out of as the upstate school. Actually, I've been to Clemson a whole lot. It's nothing like Tuscaloosa in my experience, you know.
That's saying something.
I don't know when I was in Clemson last.
I feel like getting into Clemson is a bigger problem than getting out
of it. Sometimes. I guess I hadn't been there since, 2010?
It's been
about 16 years. I've been to a Clemson, I went when I lived in Greenville, I went to like a Clemson home game with somebody during Carolina's open week. I think Boston College or somebody they played. That's the last time I've been to a game there. It was 15. So maybe they've changed it. You know, Carolina's traffic situation, I used to say, is the best in the SEC. Maybe that's because people left early. I don't know, but no. But now, I don't know what they changed. And then, you know, 17, I went to the Clemson Carolina game in Columbia, and we left early, then waited a while after the game and let it clear out. Getting out, I think we parked over near Budweiser. You know, the Budweiser, it took forever. We were going to Charleston. It took forever. And I was like, this used to not take forever. I don't know what they did. But anyway, TD says Carolina's got a real shot to start the season 7-0 going into Oklahoma. If that happens, we're going to be insufferable.
Yes, we will.
T-Far says, get my buddy Ethan to join Club Chief. Yeah, it'd be great.
Ethan, we'll see Ethan tomorrow, but yeah, he needs to.
Russell's 441 is the highway that goes to Athens. Doc Graber said, Evans is awful for opposing fans. That's the closest. All right, so never really had a problem with anybody fight-wise or anything before or after a game in my life. I like to keep it chill because you know what? If you get a fight before the game, you're not going to go into the game. If you get a fight after the game, you're not going to be able to enjoy or be sad about the result of the loss. So I try to, no matter if somebody's talking smack, I try to keep it quiet. The three times I almost slugged somebody were ironically in Nashville after a Vanderbilt game in 08.
Because None of those people didn't mouthy at all.
Those boys did not.
I don't care.
06 walking into Commonwealth, what's Kroger Field now, in Kentucky. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Both times people were just yelling at me and the people I was with for no reason and really saying some disgusting things. But then one time before the 05 Georgia game, man. And look, I'm friends with a bunch of dogs, and whatever Georgia Carolina, I'll probably tailgate with some this year. I mean, I lived in Georgia. A lot of great people, lifelong friends of mine. I have more friends that are Georgia fans than Clemson fans, just to be honest. But, boy, there was this guy, a college kid, and I was about 27, 20. I think the early Spurrier era, 05. I walked to one of those Porta Johns, which are ridiculous anyway, because there's always a long line. And I walked out, and this kid with a bald head that had the bulldog painted on his head, he gets about half inch from my ear and yells, like loud, like, you know, thought it was funny. I don't like anybody screaming in my ear.
No.
It didn't startle me, but the young man was very lucky that I was a tolerant person and that at that point in my life, I wasn't drinking liquor, just beer. Because I think I would have been, I don't know. So, anyway, why do we have to get out here? Oh, yeah. Shane Beamer press conference. That's why I got to get out early.
Yeah, 1 o'clock. Nobody's going to watch us after 1 o'clock.
All right, so we're going to give way to the Shane Beamer press conference. Harrison says, beat Mississippi State first, though.
Yeah, first things first. Get through Kent and Towson.
Yeah, I'm just, you know what's killing me is no spring game. Because usually there's a spring game and you kind of get an idea of what they, I don't know what it is.
Nothing.
That's good. Probably keep more people tuned into the Kent game because they just watch the backups.
I know.
If they take care of business. Watch them be sitting there 10-10 at halftime against Kent.
Oh, let's not.
I'm not getting anywhere near a message board if that's
no.
At least for a little bit.
I was going to have to wait till Sunday.
All right. Don't forget tomorrow's Wide Open Wednesday. We did catch up on the McKellar Enterprises chat box today, but get all your game Gamecock friends to come in and join us tomorrow. Don't forget the Big Spur Gamecock Central special, $249 a month. You pay $29.99 now. And we'll be talking about instead of telling a story about 2010, we'll be telling a story about how because someone made fun of my Amish beard at the Alabama game that I got thrown in jail.
That's right. Just kidding.
Hopefully I'm kidding.
That's right. We'll get you out. We'll get you.
So, anyway, I appreciate
you guys. Lean into it and be like, well, I don't understand your English ways.
Yeah, I'm like, no. What's good, sir? Would you like some fresh churned butter? All right, we're out of here. Mad Dog JC, hit us up on the website. See you later.